Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A little while ago, we went to the Grand Canyon. And we went to the Northern Rim. And we were so surprised at how many trees that we saw. And as you are driving and getting closer to your campsite, you know that you're getting closer because your GPS says you are, but you don't really feel like you're getting closer to the Grand Canyon, or at least what you think it might be. But as we're driving along the road, there are trees that are spread out along the side of the road. And then all of a sudden, there's a break in the trees, and you get a shot at the Grand Canyon. And it's shocking. It's really shocking. It takes you off guard just a little bit. And if you're driving, it creates just that brief little amount of panic, awe, amazement, and danger all rolled up into one. It's a little glimpse of what is to come. And sometimes we get little glimpses when you look at things that happen in your life. Those moments that don't only shock you, but they let you know something important is happening. And just for that moment, everything is changed. Everything shines brightly. But words don't really seem to come. It doesn't really seem like there's a way to express what's happening. Perhaps it's your wedding day, the birth of your child. These moments are often simply indescribable. And more often than not, you don't quite understand what's happening, but you know that you don't want this moment to end. You want to crystallize it and savor it. You know that this is something special, and you want to keep it that way forever, because you know that this sense of completeness just won't last forever. However, like stopping your car on the road on the way to the Grand Canyon when there's no vista point can be dangerous. There's a danger for us. When we take these moments and we hold on to them as if they're the only thing that we have, we're often poorer for it in the present. We treat them as things that we need to continually strive for and are dejected when we can't get our continual dose of euphoric bliss. If we only look at our marriages from the lens of that big wedding day with all of the fanfare, we continually chase after it like a drug that will often leave us strung out. And most of all, we miss out on the daily accounts of real love, of daily sacrificing ourselves to each other. And the same goes for the faith. If we only look upon those big moments, the flood of emotions that come in upon us, we lack the ability to know how the Lord is indeed present with us, not only in the great moments of feeling complete, but in the moments of doubt and despair. And likewise, even we, as the church itself, may look back on those moments when the sanctuary was booming and teeming with members and numbers, But there's a danger there as well. Because if we crystallize those as the good times, quote, we not only distort those times, but we begin to think that those are the only times when God is with us, present and active. And we fail to see how God is present right now through his word and through his sacrament. You see, those moments, all of those big moments, they have a purpose and they are good. But it's not for us to sit down and dwell in them. We don't get to set up our tents. If we do, we might just miss God's presence in our life today. And more than that, miss the whole point of why he allowed us to behold those moments in the first place. For the Lord is active today to save us according to his plan. Well, I think these moments are kind of like parables. Parables to the surpassing glory of the Transfiguration. You see, it is in this context that the Transfiguration happens. Peter, even when he does see this amazing sight of Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah, I mean, first of all, just think about that moment. How much awe there must have been to see Jesus speaking with these two great men of the Old Testament. And Peter just doesn't have words. And he starts speaking, as Mark says, in a way that he doesn't understand. And he interrupts the conversation. He wants to hold on to this moment. He thinks that Jesus is another great prophet like Moses and Elijah. And he wants to build tents for them. In the context of our reading this morning, Peter has just confessed that Jesus is the Christ. This was the confession that was not born from him, but from the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit who helped Peter to see who Jesus is. But soon after that, Jesus began talking about how it was necessary for him to suffer and to die on the cross and to rise again. And Peter would not have any of it. Oh no, Lord, surely not. You cannot die. You're not supposed to suffer. But Jesus instead rebukes him. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You see, it didn't make sense for Peter that Jesus must die. Peter was looking at Jesus from the things of men. And from that perspective, kings do not go and die. But Jesus is speaking the things of God. It's necessary that the Son of the living God should suffer and die and be raised. It's necessary that suffering comes before glory. And so it's no surprise that when Peter is in the midst of this transfiguration moment, this amazing glimpse at the glory of Jesus, he wants to hold on to it. He doesn't want what Jesus says is coming after, which is the cross. And it's at this moment that Peter is speaking of building these tents that the voice in the cloud breaks in and reminds Peter and us once again, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." There's something more important for Peter and for others. It is the word. It is the promise. It is Jesus, God in the flesh. He is not simply a great prophet. He is not simply another miracle worker. He is God in the flesh, and he speaks the truth. And he promises life and forgiveness and salvation. And if you hold on to this moment of glory, you might miss out on how God is at work to bring redemption. What Peter could not see at the time is that Jesus had to go to the cross. The transfiguration was a confirmation for the disciples that this is the plan which Jesus will bring salvation to people, that he will bring salvation through the cross. It didn't make sense that death was the way to life. Jesus would die for the sins of the whole world, yours and mine, and he would take them upon himself in order to redeem sinners. And even more than that, Jesus calls Peter and the disciples to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. Take up your cross and follow him. Deny yourselves. You see, it's a message for us as well today, too. It's not easy. Dare I say it, it's near impossible. But you see, God makes the impossible happen. By your baptism, you have died with Christ. All of your sin, gone, forgiven. But just as Jesus rose from the dead, so in your baptism you have new life, resurrection. The transfiguration was a taste for the disciples, both then and now, of what was about to happen to Jesus on that first Easter morning. They got a glimpse of who Jesus is in his glory. But the transfiguration was not the thing that they had to hold on to. It was the word of God. The transfiguration was here one minute and gone the next. But there was one thing that remained with them all the way through. And it's made its way through churches of many nationalities, through the preaching of the apostles, has spread across time, and it's here today in your midst. It is the word. This is my son. Listen to him. This word is the word that brings life to you today. It's heard in your midst right now. We did not see the transfiguration. Neither did we see the empty tomb. Neither did we witness Jesus ascend to heaven. But there is something that we have, that Peter had as well, and the disciples also. We have the word. It is the word of promise, that when it is spoken, it creates faith within us to receive the benefits of this promise. The word of promise radically calls you in the face of your trials and suffering and pain and says, you are forgiven. This word gives you amazing hope for the future, that although you die, you will not die eternally. This word pours out the love of God into your hearts and minds, saying God has loved you. It was necessary that Christ die and rise to give you the kingdom. And you have it today. God's gracious reign over you today, every time you hear the word. See, that permanent transfiguration of all things will happen one day. One day, everything will be changed. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth. The dead shall be raised by the trumpet blast. and those alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. All of that will happen. And it brings comfort that it will. But what you hold on to today are not the great sights along the way, but the word of promise that is there for you. It is that word freely given and spoken into your ears. It is that word of promise of the only one to rise from the dead. Hear again the voice from the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Amen.